I'm back, episode 416 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. Hey, what's going on? I trust and hope that this podcast finds you doing awesome amidst this craziness that is COVID-19. I trust and hope that you are finding your way in this new reality, and you're kind of getting back to your routines, and there's structure going on in your day. Because it's taken me a few weeks, but I'm finally now in the groove of things. So, I wish and hope for the same for you. My friends, today I have Chris Miles on the podcast from Money Ripple, somebody who's been featured on a lot of different news outlets, like I think CNBC and several others. And he's somebody who has been working with entrepreneurs for years. One of the things we're going to be talking about is what you need to be doing as an entrepreneur and as a real estate investor in this market downturn, in this pandemic. We talk a lot about cash, and we speak directly to two different types of people. If you're listening to this and you don't have cash, what do you need to be doing? And if you're listening to this and you do have cash and you've let's just say you've prepared yourself for this and you're well capitalized, what do you need to be doing and how you need to be looking at potential opportunities? Because there's going to be no shortage of those, but I think you got to be really, really smart. So we talk about investments and there's a lot we talk about. So Chris and I met at a mastermind not too long ago, and somebody who's just very, very knowledgeable, and he considers himself the anti financial advisor is how he puts it. So this podcast was a lot of fun, and it was also a lot of fun because this was the second time. If you guys listened to the last episode with Todd Foster on creative deal structuring and how to buy pretty houses at full retail and still make a killer profit, you probably noticed that we did that on Facebook and YouTube Live. So this is the second time that we did that, and really, really enjoying that platform and going live with the podcast, because it gives me the ability to answer questions. So that's something that at the end of this podcast is a little bit unique. Again, the episode with Todd Foster, the previous masterclass, was the only other one that I think we've done that on. So if you like it, comment, let me know, reach out to me. Make sure we're connected on Facebook, /AlexPardo15, I think is the URL. Facebook.com/AlexPardo15, on Instagram @AlexPardo25, on YouTube, YouTube.com/AlexPardo. And let's just make sure we're connected. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. And without further ado, let's hop into episode 416 with Chris Miles. What's going on, guys? Welcome to this masterclass here on the Flip Empire Show. Armando, what's up, my friend? I know you and Chris are good friends as well. So do me a favor, guys. If you can hear me, I want to make sure that we are live, because I got a notification that this did not go live on a few Facebook groups. So, okay, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, guys. Chris, what is up, my friend? It's great connecting with you.
It sure is, from the comfort of our own rooms, right?
Yeah, right. So, I guess before, let's kind of go back and forth a little bit here before we get the show kicked off. How have things been since you and I were in San Diego about a month ago, like days before this thing, the stuff hit the fan, as they say?
Yeah, I'm missing going to California. I'm missing like traveling, getting out of here, So I've been getting like cabin fever, even though I work from home anyways, but just wanted to get out and do stuff. But
Yeah.
Overall, though, life's been pretty good. I mean, other than just not going anywhere, you know?
Yeah, right, right. That's, well, you know, it's interesting. It took me a few weeks to kind of adjust to the new reality and to really choose to see this as a blessing in disguise. And this has been, this has brought so much awareness to me, and there's been so much good that has come out of it. And I think it's all about perspective, right? It's all about what you choose to focus on. And so we could talk about that for hours and hours, but, brother, I'm excited to have you on the show here. So let's kick it off, man. For people that might not know who you are, Chris, obviously, you come to us from Money Ripples. You've been featured on US News, CNN, and a bunch of these media outlets. I know you've been working with entrepreneurs for many years. Give people a little bit of a background so they have some context, they understand who you are, and a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. So I'm basically an anti-financial advisor, right? Anything financial advisors teach, I probably teach pretty close to the opposite, if not the opposite. You know, what that means is about almost 20 years ago now, I started out as the traditional mainstream financial advisor. You know, for those people that are in the health industry, this would be like, you know, financial advisors are kind of like pharmaceutical salesmen, right? They sell you a whole bunch of pills and stuff, and you hope it's going to work, but it's been proven not to work. And after 4 years of doing that, I realized this crap, it doesn't work. I've proven it by the numbers. There's no way people can retire saving in 401ks and mutual funds and everything else. So in 2006, I said, you know what? I got to be done. Like I cannot keep teaching this stuff anymore and being in integrity. But I found guys that were millionaires because I'm like, I might as well find people that have actually done it. Like who have actually become financial free, who have actually retired in their, even in their 20s and 30s. And a lot of them were real estate investors, right? And other business owners and things like that. And I said, that is the route I need to go. And so I actually, the first time I actually was able to retire in 2006 when I was 28 years old. And then of course I came out of retirement to teach people how to get out of the rat race in 2007, started a company with a guy that Armando and I both know, who's on this webinar here, right? And started a company there. And then we all of a sudden went through the whole craziness of the recession. And I did the one mistake I shouldn't have done, right?
What's
and
this that?
And this applies to this era of recession today as it does before, is I cut off my income streams right before the recession hit. So all those passive and residual income streams I had, I cut off to be focused on the mission, you know, and follow my passion and basically like be, you know, big heart, no brain, you know, in the sense of like just going out and doing stuff and not thinking. And of course, when the recession hit, you know, all of a sudden our business got hit. All of my cash flow streams were already cut off. And so I went from millionaire to upside down millionaire. I wouldn't say overnight, but it was definitely over a year. Like from about 2000, by 2008, I was like, crap, I have over $1 million of debt and I got to dig out of this. And so I did. I didn't file for bankruptcy. I dug out slowly until December of 2016. I was once again officially out of the rat race, right? As people would say, where my passive and residual income streams were paying more than my expenses.
Yeah, got it. So, you know, I'm glad to hear you say that, because whenever I speak to an entrepreneur, I'm always curious, have they experienced a downturn? Have they been through a recession? Have they been? And to 2008, you know, the writing was on the wall. You know, at the moment, I didn't know that, right? But looking back, all the signs were on the wall. And there's a lot of people that just weren't prepared for that. And I know one of the things we're going to talk about on the masterclass today is, you know, what entrepreneurs, in your opinion, need to be doing to pivot during this potential recession, you know, and I realize the title. I know a recession is, I think it's a decline in GDP 2 quarters in a row. And so we're not there, but we might very well be heading into a recession at the very minimum, especially for my real estate investors, you know, listening to the show. It's a different market than it was 30, 45 days ago. I mean, I think we've quickly shifted from a seller's market to a buyer's market. So with all your experience, all the entrepreneurs, from your perspective, what are you seeing that entrepreneurs need to do to position and prosper during this downturn? Not just that they can, you know, survive this, but so that their companies can thrive beyond this point.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt we're moving into recession, right? I mean, every economist has said it's happening. The question is how bad a recession, or it will even become a depression, right? And that's the real question. And as a business owner, you've got to, the ones that are going to survive have really two things in common, in my opinion, right? One, they, like you said, they know how to pivot. Like they know how to adjust and really move with the changing times. And then two is they've got cash reserves. They've got that kind of war chest to say, listen, if even crap hits the fan, I've got capital I can access, right? And I don't have to wait for the government to try to give me all that money, because the truth is I mean, people are now saying, okay, well, you might get these checks, you know, maybe at the end of this month. Oh, it could be next month. It might be forever, right? Yeah. And you might starve in the meantime trying to wade that out. So having cash and then be able to pivot. And I think the best way to do that, and this is what I had to do even the last recession, right? Like, I was telling people how to get out of the rat race, and then I was back in it, you know? So I had to pivot my message at that time. I realized I can't teach something I'm not doing. And that's the way I always end with my message. And so I pivoted to how to get resourceful, how to find and free up cash, because that's what I was doing. I wasn't telling people, I wasn't broadcasting saying, hey guys, I'm flat broke, you know, like I'm in the hole $16,000 a month and I'm $1 million in debt. I wasn't advertising that, but I started to say, hey, here's the things you can do to find money, because people were complaining in the recession, just like I was, of I can't find money or I don't have access to cash. And I'm thinking in my mind is, hey, listen, if I'm this bad off, you can't be that bad.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, the best, and I forgot who said this, but it always stuck with me, Chris. The best resource is resourcefulness. And no matter what position you're in, just by mere fact that you have the ability to be on Facebook, on your smartphone, on your laptop, and you're watching us live. I mean, it blows my mind what technology allows us to do. Just by mere fact that you have the ability to even watch this means that you have resources around you. You just got to open your eyes to it. By the way, before we, Chris, I should have mentioned this at the top of the show. Guys, we want to make this interactive. If you have questions, we did a live yesterday that had a lot of questions. If you have questions for Chris, type it into the chat box here. What we're going to do is we'll probably aim to go about 45 minutes and then we're going to open it up for some Q&A. And if you happen to watch this on the replay or in the future, we still encourage you to put your questions in. Maybe Chris can hop in and answer some questions. I'm happy to answer some questions as well. So just a heads up, any questions you have about money, about your business, about finances, anything that Chris covers or that we talk about, I encourage you, because we want to make this interactive. We just want to have some fun with it. So Chris, going back to what you were sharing about, you know, you talked about pivoting and you talked about having cash reserves. I want to kind of attack this conversation from two different angles. For the person that's listening to this that hasn't prepared themselves in their business, maybe they find themselves with a lack of powder, right? Cash. And they don't have access to those, to the capital that would make them comfortable, whether it's an emergency fund or whether it's funds for their business. I would love to hear your thoughts on what that person needs to be doing. And then once we get through that, I want to kind of pivot the conversation and focus on the entrepreneur that has been positioning themselves for this. Maybe they've already been through a downturn and they have access to capital or they have a reserves. What type of mindset they need to have as there's going to be opportunities that just continue to to show up, you know, how to be smart and be strategic about which opportunities we jump on. So why don't we kind of tackle the first one for people listening to this that don't have reserves? What are your thoughts there?
You bet. And this advice could really apply to both situations too. You know, I guess if anything, as my wife would say, this ain't my first rodeo. Right? Like this is something I've had a lot of experience with. So I had no money and no credit the last recession, right? I was flat broke. So here's the things you can do. I have three pieces of advice I've been giving people lately. It's get lean, get liquid, and get out. So get lean, get liquid, and get out, right? Get lean means finding any ways to tighten the belt. I mean, understand how much money is actually coming in, like really tracking your money. If you're using apps like Mint or in your business, using QuickBooks or whatever it is, start really watching your numbers. You got to know how much is coming in and how much is going out. Not just the expenses, although expenses are going to be a big part of getting lean, right? Is what are the most productive expenses? Okay. You know, I even dealt with this 5 years ago when I was going through a divorce. You know, like when I was going through a whole almost reset of my business, right? I was like, okay, what am I going to do? I emotionally could not even handle what was going on in my life. I was only working 5 hours a week, which was interesting because I used to work 50 plus hours a week. And then I went down to five, right?
Talk about a swing.
Yeah, it was a huge sway. And I was like, well, I came in, and like, even though I had time, I didn't have the bandwidth emotionally to handle more. And so I had to get really creative of what's the best leverage I can create. And so I started really looking at Pareto's principle, right? The whole 80-20 principle. I like to call it the Pareto of the Pareto. Like, what's the 80%, or really what's the 20% of the 20%? What's the top 4%, right? How can I Pareto the crap out of the Pareto, you know?
I love
and
that.
So, I look for like, what is it that I can use? So I started looking at the most effective things in my business. Like what was like the real driver of the majority of my business? Who are my best ideal clients? Who mm-hmm. are they? How can I talk to just them? You know, cut out everything else, all the other distractions. I had 184 speaking engagements in 2015.
What? Right?
184 live speaking, webinars, podcasts, interviews, things like this, right?
That's insane, dude. That's multiple times a week. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I realized like, well, how can I really pare that down to the essentials, right? And I ended up cutting it down in 2016 to just 120, including I did 6 live events in 2015. I cut them down to 3. I cut them in half. Here's what's amazing. My revenue more than doubled that year.
Doesn't surprise me.
The profit didn't just double. It actually quintupled that year. And that's the thing that I talk about, like getting lean doesn't always mean like just cutting off expenses, although that's mm-hmm. part of it. Sure. Getting lean could also just mean that you're saying, you know what, like what's the best activities I could be doing right now? I'll go on. Here's another bonus that goes with that. Actually, you talk about pivoting in business, right? Mm-hmm. One of the best ways to know how to pivot is always be asking the question is what are people asking for? What problems do they have? Especially at a time like this, problems are abundant, right? And so the question is how can I solve that problem personally? Or two, do I know someone who can help solve that problem?
Yeah.
If it's something you can actually solve, great. Find a way to solve it, like pivot, just like I did when I pivoted in the recession. I pivoted to, hey, like what's actually like, what are people asked for? They want money and resource. They don't care about the rat race because they're so stuck in survival. Uh-huh. They can't think about that right now, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's right.
Pivot that message. And then that's when all of a sudden our business boomed. It went from almost bankrupt to all of a sudden the next year we did like over 5 million in revenue, you know,
just incredible.
Like overnight.
You know, so brother, a couple things I want to unpack here that I'm kind of putting myself in the shoes of somebody watching this or listening to this. Yeah. You know, first of all, before I even get to the two questions, I truly believe that if you're not happy with the money you're making and the money that you're getting paid, the revenue you're generating, what's trickling down to the bottom line, think about ways that you can add more value. And I think to Chris's second point, what problems are you solving? Because we all get paid in direct proportion to the value that we're bringing to the marketplace. It's not about how many hours are you working. It's not about hustling your face off and grinding, because that's preached and talked about so much. And don't get me wrong. I think, Chris, you'll probably agree with me. Hard work is important. Mm-hmm. Working smart is equally as important. But the question is not how hard are you working? How much value are you adding to the marketplace and how many problems are you solving? You're going to get paid in direct proportion to the amount of problems you solve and the value you add. Right. So let me kind of backtrack now for a second. You know, you talked about cutting expenses. That's one way of getting lean that a lot of people think about, and it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Number two, best activities. You talked about taking your speaking engagements and you went from this to this, right? I think it was mm-hmm. like you got to like 160 or so. How do you identify what are the revenue generating activities or what are the best activities? Because I find that a lot of people struggle to even figure out, hey, where do I need to be devoting my precious time, energy, and resources? So do you have any practical advice on how people can kind of navigate, hey, this is where I need to be spending my time in my business?
It's pretty easy. Just look at the numbers, right? Like, you know, if, for example, you know, I was looking at all the different networking groups I was doing locally here in the state of Utah, right? And when I looked at it, I was like, well, how many clients did that really equate to? Did that really generate business? And the answer was no. Like it was very, very little compared to the time and effort put in. Mm-hmm. So that was like an easy one. I said, good, cut it off, right? The other thing was, of course, is where are my ideal clients? Like, you know, I talk about that 4%, the top four, like who were they? What were they like? And I put all my focus and attention, even my image in my mind around those people. So whenever I spoke, when I did speak, like when I did my podcast or I was on interviews, I was speaking to them. I didn't speak to the people that really drained my energy, which I had done that for a time because I was so afraid of attracting the wrong people. I would put too much attention and attract them, right?
Yeah.
So I'd actually devote my energy towards those people that I knew were ideal. And so when I did, I was like, what are the podcasts or videos that people are doing, or where are they going? Where are these people going to be found? And I started putting my attention there. Versus all the other places that were nice and maybe they generated some revenue, but for the money and for the time and effort, they weren't generating nearly as much as these other areas, few areas were.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And hopefully that resonates with people. It's not as complicated. I think entrepreneurs, Chris, tend to, I've been guilty of this, man. We tend to overcomplicate things. Mm-hmm. The older I get and the more years I get behind me from an experience perspective, I realize the KISS, you know, keep it simple, stupid. I want a simple, lean, profitable business. I don't want all these moving parts and all this organized chaos in my world. I mean, and you got to ask yourself, what kind of business do you want? You know, do you want a lifestyle business? Do you want a business that you want to, you know, you want publicly traded? I mean, learn to ask yourself better questions. You're going to get better answers. Depending on the vision for your business is going to dictate a lot of the direction and path you go on. Mm-hmm. But so you talked about three things, right? First, we started the show with entrepreneurs need to know how to pivot, having cash reserves. And then we kind of got into number one. I love how you put it. Get lean, get liquid, get out. Let's kind of transition to get liquid. All right. So let's cater to those people that might not be liquid right now. You know, having more capital, one of the ways is you got to get lean, right? You got to cut expenses and you got to focus on revenue generating activities and what really matters. You talked about that. Yeah. What else can entrepreneurs and real estate investors listening to this do to get liquid if they're just not comfortable with where they're at right now?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. I talked to a real estate investor this morning and he was saying like, yep, here's where I am. I've got, you know, almost 100 grand sitting in savings. I'm just kind of let sit there for now until I do some more deals. And he's like, I just paid off all of my home equity lines of credits. And so I'm at least debt free. I'm keeping things lean. So he was already doing the get lean stuff, right? But for him, I said, you know what? Right now, like I think it's a matter of weeks that this opportunity will be gone, which is those home equity lines of credit. I would cash them out. Even if you didn't use the money, just get the money out of there. Don't leave the line of credit open, because just like the last recession, this happened to me and so many other people, is they start cutting back lines of credit. Even if you had 800 plus credit scores, they cut them back on people with perfect credit because they didn't want people to have access to cash. And we're moving to that place, I think, within weeks of this recording here. Yeah. So I would say for sure is get that money out. Even if you end up just putting it back in later, get that money out. That's one way to get liquid, is get that equity out, because it won't be there forever.
It's so we had we're part of a mastermind and we talked a lot about that. Matter of fact, you and I know somebody in that mastermind that I think they had access to $1 million in a credit line. And when all this started to happen, the first thing they did is they pulled it out. And
I did the same.
Thought process, you know, I was like, initially I was like, wow, like that's a lot of interest to pay. And when I started to have conversations and think about it, that's cheap insurance right now. Because having the cash right now is gold. It's critical.
Yeah.
And during a, you know this, man, during a downturn, during a recession, one of the first things that get pulled, to your point, are these lines of credit. So I'm glad to hear you say that, because there's been a lot of conversation amongst different masterminds. I mean, hey, should I pull that cash? Should I leave it? Better to be safe than sorry. It's a small price to pay as far as interest payments to have that cash on your side.
I agree. I mean, there's so many, like, that's a hard thing. People are like Dave Ramsey advocates, right? I mean, those people, I mean, those are the ones that have the hardest time with this, but those are the people that usually get trapped, you know, because like you said, let's say it's $100,000 right now, because of where prime rate dropped. This is like the perfect storm. The loan rate right now, it's like right around 4.25%. Some are even less than that, depending on your state, right? So think about this. That means you're paying for 100 grand. If you cash it out, you're paying 350 a month. And I remember asking one of my clients, I'm like, how long could you keep paying 350 a month with 100 grand? And they're like, forever. I mean, exactly. That's the point, you know? It's like, sure, it might cost you a little bit in interest, but that's the thing I wish I could have gone back in time in the last recession to do, was I had equity that I threw into my house, dumped it in, 200 grand was stuck in there. And then when I came back in, because I was a business owner, that's all they had to say is, you're a business owner, self-employed, sorry, we don't give out loans to people anymore. Yeah. And I had equity trapped in there. And then, of course, the value of my property dropped, lost all the equity, and I ended up selling the house for nothing. Right? I ended up foreclosing on that house even because I had no cash.
Chris, check this out, man. So my wife and I don't even think you know this. I don't think we've spoken about this. So my wife and I closed on our house, the house that we bought right before we got married, that we lived in for 7 years. We closed on that house February 1st. Okay, so nice check time. This out. We decided to list that house we decided to, we built up a bunch of equity, and we were this close to waiting until after the holidays to list the house. And something told me, and I don't take any credit for this, this was sheer luck, but like, I just felt like, let's just list the house on the market. Long story short, we ended up selling. We pulled our equity out. We did very well. I reached out to my agent last week and I said, do me a favor, run a CMA, you know, comparative market analysis on the property. Check with your appraiser. I'm just curious, $75,000 decrease in value in 30 something days.
Wow.
We just got lucky. And so if somebody out there, somebody owns their home and they got a bunch of equity, would you, since we started talking about it, would you advise if they don't, if they're not in a very liquid position, would you recommend they sell their house and take what they can get right now? Or at this point, considering they've probably lost significant value, would you just recommend, hey, that look for alternative ways to get capitalized?
If there's that big of a drop in value, I would consider like trying to see if you could weather that out a little bit. But it just depends. I mean, if you're like in a place, you're like, I got to get cash right now, and there's no other means to get it, even though there usually are, right? But let's just say that you can't find any other means. Maybe selling the house is worth it. You know, even if you don't have as much equity, just getting that cash out might be worthwhile for you. You know, it just depends.
I would agree, man. Sometimes it's so important, you know, to slow down in order to speed up. And if that means selling your property, taking less than you expected, and maybe renting somewhere else, you know, Christina Krause, a mutual friend of ours, you know, she said something to me last month. She was like, or a couple of weeks ago, she was like, every dollar you save is a precious dollar that can either get you through this or that you can deploy towards an opportunity that's going to make you that much more in the future.
Exactly.
You know, so it's so important to watch your spending, not just the cash you have coming in, but the cash you have going out, right? So what else can people do? You know, they're not well capitalized. Let's say maybe they're renting or they don't have equity in their house. What else can we do to start getting our hands on some cash and getting more liquid?
Well, that's where we might move to get out, right? And this will apply to both groups of people, whether you don't have cash or you already have cash sitting around. I mean, right now, we saw the market tank, like seriously 35% from its high in February. Then bounce back to where now it's net, it's down about 15 to 20%, right?
Right.
Now, I can't legally tell people to cash out of the stock market, but this might be an opportune time to get your money. And in fact, if you've been affected by COVID in any way, shape, or form, your job or your financial situation has been affected by that, you can actually, if you have IRAs or 401ks, you can access that money and avoid the 10% early withdrawal penalty if you're not 59 and a half years old. So now you consider that, plus we're in the lowest tax bracket we've been in for decades, right? This might be the most opportune time to liquidate that money away from gambling it in the stock market. Because here's the thing, everybody's saying out there like, oh, it's on sale, buy more, which is what all the financial advisors like say, yes, please, you know, like you should do double, you know, because they get paid off that crap. They're just salesmen in suits, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole dollar cost averaging is a bunch of crap. Like I've never known a recession to drop 1 month and then just recover. It never, ever in the history of the stock market has ever done that. I'm not saying that maybe there will be a first, but if we're moving in a recession, you're most likely going to see the market drop, even if it's gradually, over the next 2 to 3 years minimum.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, get in then. Don't buy into the whole crap of it's at its low, it's on sale. It's like, you're kidding me. Like that's bull crap, you know, like it's not true. So this could be, again, the opportune time to get that money out. Now, it could be extra reserves for you just to give you that peace of mind, especially if you've been infected by the virus, you can get it with better liquidity and access. But if you don't need the money, but maybe you're looking for, like you said, that next opportunity of building up that cash to say, hey, I want to create wealth now, because there are huge opportunities today and there will be more in the months ahead. This is a great time right now to have cash to go and invest and not gamble it in the stock market that will probably be down over the next few years.
Yeah. So you don't even think, a quick question as far as the stock market is concerned, that's not really the focus of this call, but
yeah,
you don't think we're anywhere close to the bottom? How much, like, you still think we have a long way to go as far as the market, you know, tanking?
Yeah, we have plenty of room to go. I think we'll go even lower than what we hit just a few weeks ago. Like, I think we'll hit lower than that because, you know, it's like anything. Like, and I used to trade in the stock market, so I used to be a huge fan of it, right? But I'll tell you, like, it's just like when you throw a rock in the pond, it creates ripple effects. Like what we're seeing is kind of, we saw the ripple effect and then it kind of, now it's kind of smoothing out. We're like, oh, there's hope, right? But what happens a lot of times, the ripples bounce off the shore and bounce back. And that's when it's going to get rough. Like that, I don't think we've even seen close. Even with people getting cash in their hands, I still think there's going to be plenty of businesses going to fail. The bond market, I think the corporate bond market is actually going to, they're already junk bonds right now in the bond market. Like there's been bond fund managers saying, even before this all hit, they were saying, you know what, if there's a bubble, it's probably in the bond market because this is like 1987 all over again. We're buying crappy bonds right now.
Yeah.
And so all you have to do is put a little stress on a company and then bam, like it just breaks it, you know? And
that's right.
So I think there's going to be a lot of that kind of effect is going to happen, which will create more unemployment, of course, and things of that nature. There will be bigger effects than people realize.
Yeah.
But that also means there's huge opportunity for us too.
100%, 100%. And I think one of the skills that, you know, I talked about at the beginning of the show, Chris, how this has brought a lot of awareness to, you know, I'm speaking for myself, right? And one of the things I chose early on is I'm going to use this opportunity to develop a new skill or to hone in on a skill. And I think one of those skills, critically important for real estate investors is raising capital. Now's a perfect opportunity that there's people that are taking a bath in the stock market to take, to speak to those people and let them know, educate them about how, you know, you can leverage their capital for real estate investments and how it's secured and it's not a light switch like the stock market. So that's not the focus of the show here as far as raising private capital. We're going to be doing more of that in the future. But that's one of those skills that, you know, you need to kind of dust off or develop that skill, create relationships with people because leveraging private capital is super important in a recession and in a downturn.
I think you're definitely kind of reading the future for sure. I mean, with what's going on right now with the banks, banks were legally, because of the last recession, they were said you had to keep more reserves in place, right? So they made them by law. But just 2 weeks ago, the law then said, and the Fed said, you know what? Don't worry about it. We got your back. You know, I love Federal Reserve. Federal Reserves are not federal. They're just bankers. And then two, they don't have reserves.
Yeah, with the irony, right?
Trillions of dollars is coming out of nowhere, right? Just because of their balance sheet, you know, having stuff on it. It's like, wait a minute. Hold on. Like you're just saying, hey, we got your back. We'll just print more money. You know, like that, that's going to create some massive issues, you know,
the level of debt, what is it? 20 something trillion. And it's going over 30. The level of debt that this country has. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, man. It blows my mind, but let's hop back on reserves. How much this answer, obviously, Chris, is going to vary, you know, from person to person. Mm-hmm. Do you have a general rule of thumb as far as how much cash reserves people listening should have on the personal side and then on the business side? And I understand it's a very general, vague question because it's going to just vary on lifestyle and so many different things. But is there a rule of thumb that you kind of go by?
Yeah, I mean, right now, even before this hit, business reserves, at least 2 to 3 months of reserves, you know, in case you brought zero revenue in, right? So covering the expenses, 2 to 3 months of expenses. On the personal side, at least 6 months. You know, and again, if you're a business owner, you might want more just to be safe, depending on the type of business you're in or whatnot. Like I feel very blessed just because I have so many multiple streams of income coming in that, you know, even if a few of them dry up, I still got another dozen that are paying me, you know? So, if you're not in that position, then cash reserves is probably the most essential thing for you right now.
Got it. It's interesting. It's like you read my mind. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, which I think you touched on at the beginning of the show, was multiple streams of income. I read somewhere, I think it was in Forbes years ago, that like, and this stat may have changed, and I'm not even sure if this stat is accurate, but the average multimillionaire has at least 3 to 5 streams of income. That number may even be higher.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm curious to get your opinion on. What's the balance, Chris, in your mind between having multiple streams of income, i.e. not having all your eggs in one basket, juxtapose that to the mindset and the belief of focus on the one thing, the pumpkin pan, like get your one big, like, so where do you stand on that? Because in my mind, there's a, and I have a strong opinion on it. I'm curious yours, but people sometimes struggle with, hey, like, I'm distracted. I'm doing all these things because I want multiple streams of income, but then I keep hearing I need to be focused on one thing. So where do you kind of land on that conversation?
Yeah, I love The Pumpkin Plan. That's one of my favorite books.
Awesome. In fact,
that was the one I read when I 5 years ago, I was going through a divorce. I was reading at that time when I did the Pareto of the Pareto, right?
Awesome book.
So I'll tell you, like, here's the difference. Cause last recession, cause I got desperate, I tried to generate 5 different streams of income through 5 different businesses. Overall, my income dropped. My total income dropped. When I cut out 3 of those 5 and left on 2, my income overall shot back up. So there's something to be said about focus, right? Is that there's got to be focus. There's got to be a way to say, I'm going to go more deep in these active streams. So there's active streams versus passive, right? Active streams are one thing. Those are the ones that you do not build overnight. Those take time and energy. You should be focused on no more than one or two, is my opinion, right? Passive streams or residual streams. Residual streams, I say, come from business. Passive come from investments, right?
That's right.
You know, like residual, I've got easily like about, all of my different income, I got about 15 or 16 different income streams. Two of them are active, right? That I do as part-time each. And then the other 13, 14 are passive or residual. I would say of those, there's probably about two-thirds are residual, one-third are passive. But I didn't build those overnight. Those were the ones I just did one at a time, got them going, and then said, great, set and go. Now, if it's passive, like with investments, like I buy turnkey properties are easy. Like you don't have to do a whole lot, especially when you already got property managers, right? So that's the stuff that's paying easily. When I got funds or syndications I got money in, same thing, that pays me easily. But again, the active streams, that's the stuff that you want to focus and narrow in on. While other streams, passive streams of income, that's where I might diversify a little bit more.
Okay. Is it usually a 1 to 5 or 1 to 10 ratio as far as active to passive? Like in your particular case, you said you have a couple active and you got 13, or I don't even know what the rate, my math is off at this point, but
that's about 1 out of 8 or something like that. Yeah. It doesn't have to be. It just depends, right? Like you can always go deep into passive investments, right? You know, for me, like mine's mostly residual through business. I just created multiple streams inside of my business first. And then I start adding like other passive income streams from like I said, real estate, syndications, and things of that nature. The truth is you don't need money to make money. You just need to have the right focus to do it.
Okay. So let's dive in there. First of all, you know, you've talked about passive and residual, and I think people get this confused. Can you define the difference for someone listening that might not, hey, I thought residual was passive. Can you define the difference between those two?
Yeah. So passive is investment income coming in, right? That's how I call passive, at least. Residuals from business. And so, for example, you know, I mentioned like, you already said this, like adding value is essential. Mm-hmm. That is the core principle to creating money in any environment, no matter what's going on. And the strategy will shift based on conditions, right? I believe the same thing is how I solve problems. I mentioned that before. How do I create solutions? If I can't do it, do I know somebody who does? Yep. So for example, I'll have certain people that I'll have an agreement with saying, listen, like you have something that I don't offer. If I send you referrals, will you pay me something back? So my very first residual stream income was unexpected. It was actually, I was in 2006, right before I was able to retire. I was a mortgage broker at the time because I quit being a financial planner. I said, those guys are liars and cheats, you know, not intentionally, but I didn't want to be in that industry. So I decided to go the mortgage route. So I had my mortgage license and I was teaching ballroom dancing on the side, right?
Were you really? I would have never guessed that, dude.
I was one of the nation's top amateur ballroom dancers in the early 2000s. Kind of interesting.
Are you serious? Okay, so you see, now I want to see, like, now I want to jump on YouTube and see if I can find some video of you, but even though YouTube probably wasn't, so I'd love to see, but that's a whole separate conversation.
You got to get me on stage at CG to see that stuff, so there you go. But yeah, so anyways, like, so I remember I was talking to one of those guys that was a millionaire, right? And I was asking him, you know, as he's like, okay, Chris, you're doing these mortgages. Do you like doing mortgages? Like, if money were no issue, would you keep doing this? I was like, no. I mean, I'm like, yes, but no. Like, I love teaching people about the mortgages, but I absolutely hate the paperwork, all the underwriting aspects, the people that call me at all hours of the day wondering if it's going to close tomorrow, you know, even though they just sent in the application, right? I was like, I don't like that part. He said, well, Chris, why don't you find somebody who does like that? Mm. And I was like, are there people out there that like that kind of stuff, like nerds like that? He's like, yes. I'm like, well, cool. And so I did. I found a guy in that group that was very introverted, but really good, you know, bedside manner, was really good at the details and following through. I said, hey, if I send you people, they already know the mortgage they want to do. So you're not doing any selling. You're just helping me do the application. Will you pay me 50% on this mortgage loan, on this origination? He said, yeah. I'm like, okay. And so I'd send him referrals, very organic. I was doing no advertising, right? Just friends, family, whoever. And then I'd get a check for $1,000 or $1,500 a month and a half later. And I was like, I only spent a half hour with these people. And I'm making like, that's like a couple $1,000 an hour. And I was like, well, who else can I do that through? And so I started, I remember people had referral programs like a wholesale jeweler where I bought for like a third of the cost, my rings, you know, and stuff like that for my wedding rings and whatnot. So when people said, yeah, I'm going to get engaged, I'm like, stop, don't go to the mall. go to this place. They're by appointment only. Go tell them I referred you. And so they would, and then I get a check in the mail for that. And that's the thing is, I don't have to solve all the world's problems, but yeah, I can be a great connector and lead, and actually, in a sense, create a win-win-win scenario. Because it's a win for the person I'm referring, win for the person that gets the business, and it's a win for me, right? And so everybody becomes happy by letting people do what they do best. And in a recession, this is needed now more than ever, right? Because exchange is what creates wealth with all of us.
Yeah.
So there's times I'll do that.
And there's opportunities galore, Chris. I'm so glad you said that, because sometimes when we talk about adding value, people's minds often cases, I think, default to, hey, it's about creation. I have to go create something, or I have to go. Oftentimes, guys, you can add massive value just by being a connector, or just by being resourceful, or just by connecting somebody to another person or to another. There's so many ways to do it, but I think you have to kind of train your mind to look for ways that you can add value, look for ways that you can improve somebody's life and or business. Man, sometimes I'll send a quick video, like on my phone, I'll just create a video. Hey man, thinking about you, wanted to see, you know, God put you on my mind for whatever reason, you know, wanted to see if you needed anything. Oftentimes I get, hey, I really appreciate that. Sometimes I get, actually, yeah. And when I get that, I go to work and trying to help that person because I genuinely, you know, was thinking about them. So think about ways you can do that type of stuff. And we all have opportunities to connect others. I think you just got to be looking for it. Absolutely. That's awesome. Guys, here's what we'd like to do. We're going to transition into the Q&A portion right now. Chris, I think you've done an amazing job because either people are gun shy or all their questions are answered. So if you guys have any questions, and by the way, I got like an error notification that this was not streamed to a couple of my Facebook groups. So I'm going to check my phone to see if any questions have come in from that. But in the meantime, guys, take advantage now. Chris is obviously a wealth of information and has a lot of experience. So any questions you guys have, bring it on, right? And if not, I have a couple to fall back on here. But what haven't I asked you, Chris, that you typically... let me kind of pivot. Let me switch the conversation. What haven't I asked you that I should be asking you that people need to know?
Yeah, I get asked a lot lately. People are asking, where do I store my cash, right? Like, where do I put it? Or where do I invest, right? I think one of the biggest names of the game is patience right now, right? I'm still investing. By the way, I just put an offer on 3 properties 2 weeks ago. Like, I'm still buying properties right now because I know, especially if the numbers work out well and they get stress tested, if it still works, I want it, you know, and there's great opportunities right now. And
what type of properties are you looking for? Like, what's your buy box and what's your...
Yeah, I'm looking more like, I've been like, the ones I've been offers on lately have been more single family type homes or multifamily properties, you know, smaller multifamily, things like that. Not big apartment deals, but more of the smaller stuff.
Okay, got it. My guess is that you're, you know, similar to what we were talking about, you're not the active guy out there looking for apartment deals. You're either getting involved in syndications or you're providing capital or something to the table, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I always have connections to help me find the deals. You know, turnkeys, same thing. I have a group I go right to. They have a whole list of turnkeys I look at. I analyze the numbers and the properties and say, yeah, I'll take that one and that one. Right. And that's kind of how it works. But I mean, a lot of times people are asking like, well, where do you store cash? Like, where do you keep it? I keep it in 3 places. If I'm going to keep it liquid, I keep the minority of my cash reserves. So my wife, she said, hey, Chris, we need to have not 120,000 set aside. I want 160,000 sitting in cash, which for a lot of people, that's a big opportunity cost of money that could be invested, right? But I was like, okay, if we're going to do it, let's make the best of it. We'll keep a little bit in the bank because we can walk in today and get the money from the bank. We'll keep some there. We'll keep some more in online savings accounts. Like I sent an email to my list yesterday where, you know, the bigger ones are paying 1.5 to 1.75%, you know, because rates dropped, but that's a lot better than 0.0%, right?
Right.
So that's where I keep, again, minority of it. The majority I actually keep in my life insurance policies because I know I'm going to earn whole percentages in there. I do it way differently than even some of the people I know that are here, way differently than it was done for us back in the day. There's ways to have cash rich life insurance that have it where there's really this tax free supercharged savings account that I can access within like a week or so. So I'll keep the bulk of that. So that 160,000, we keep about 100,000 in life insurance. Then the other 60,000 between online savings and local bank.
Okay. And my apologies, Chris, if you did answer this, but what kind of life insurance policy are you keeping that 100 grand in?
Whole life. Yeah, whole just life. Whole life. Somewhere I can actually, I don't have any fees, extra fees and things like that.
Got it, got it. Do you work at all with like the infinite banking concept?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I design policies just like that. Usually, but different, it's almost like supercharged version of infinite banking where, for example, I just showed an investor today. He said, he's like, okay, I've heard this concept before, but how does it work? And I was like, well, let's say you have 20,000 bucks you're going to put into this a year. Most infinite bankers will say that first year where it's most expensive, you might be lucky to have 10, 12 grand in the first year. For him, the 20 of the 20,000 he puts in, he'll have $16,000 of cash in there. So very low cost with higher returns.
Okay.
And it's all tax-free. It's almost like, it's like a Roth IRA and a HELOC and a savings account all in one in a sense. It's tax-free, but I can get it out just like a savings account with no penalties, no restrictions. And it's, you know, I can put in way more than a Roth. You know, I don't have to be limited to 6,000 a year, which you'll never retire on. I can have, I can dump in hundreds of thousands a year if I want to, and then access the cash and go invest in real estate, which you can't do in other things like IRAs.
This is so exciting. This is the type of thing that you do not learn at school or university, right? So you have to educate yourself financially, and you have to connect with guys like Chris that can kind of navigate this path for you, because that right there, that what he just shared is an absolute gem for somebody listening that's going to take action. We do got a couple questions. So Chizoma, I hope I am not butchering your name. So Chizoma Charles, go ahead. If you only had an active stream of income, what would be the first passive or residual stream of income you would start?
It depends on what my situation is. If I had no savings, I would look more residual. If I did have money in savings just sitting there around beyond just the emergency cash that we need, then I would probably look towards something like, whether it's a syndication or a fund, you know, that's paying stable, regular cash flow. Real estate, I always love, right? Like, because you've got 25 grand, you could put a down payment on a turnkey property pretty easily, you know? So things like that. But if you didn't have the money, residual stream, I would go with what's easy. You know, Alex already mentioned before, he talked about the KISS method, right? Like I would go to the place that's natural for you. If it's being a connector, like I talked about, like that was just natural for me. People would say, hey, Chris, who do you know that does blank? That if you get that question a lot, that's a perfect opportunity to say, I need to create an agreement with this person and just talk with them and say, hey, was it worth it to you? Like if I'm like, in a sense, in a very low-key organic fashion, like your marketer, right? What's your marketing budget? What would you pay for a referral? Because every business owner, including me, loves to pay for referrals. We don't mind that. So that's where I would start.
Yeah. So good. You know, one way that I've approached this and I realized, so are you familiar with Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach? So years ago, a coach of mine recommended that I go through what I think it's called the Genius Zone exercise. And the Genius Zone exercise, Chris, is basically you send an email and you can Google it. And there's a template. You send an email to like 15 to 20 people that know you and you mix it up. You send it to some family members. You send it to some friends, some colleagues, some partners, etc. And basically the template says, hey, I'm doing some work on myself. And I'm curious, what do you think from your perspective comes natural and easy to me? Another way to put it is, what do you consider my superpower to be? So I went through this exercise years ago and I didn't even realize this, but I had my wife who's like an Excel ninja put in all the responses, like 17, 18 responses, like on a graph. And by and large, most people were telling me that I'm a good communicator and connector. And I didn't even associate those two things as something that was even a skill. So that's a simple tip right there, is go through that Genius Zone exercise. There's always opportunity. You may or may not be a good connector, but oftentimes just listen, actively listen to people's pain points and challenges. You don't even have to say something and you can just connect them, or you could be proactive like Chris is suggesting and say, hey, listen, if I was to bring you some customers, or if I was to do XYZ, you know, what would that be worth to you? Or would it be willing, would you be willing to, you know, to pay me a piece of that, or have a very nonchalant conversation about it? 9 out of 10 times I find that product owners, business owners are going to be like, hell yeah, like bring it on. Like who doesn't want more customers, right?
Yeah. I think that's great. Especially with, here's other examples. You don't have to just be a connector. It could be like creating online products. If you're a business owner, maybe you're more face to face, can you create it to be online, especially right now where you might need that, you know? Or
that's right.
Can you, I mean, my wife, she did things where she started like her own Amazon link, you know, like her own Amazon referral stuff, and, you know, saying, here's my book, recommended reading books. And she would get paid little checks from that. I mean, there's so many ways you can make money, you know, but just pick one that's easy and natural for you right now.
It's so funny you said that. By the way, Daryl commented, agreed, the Genius Zone exercise works. So Daryl's part of our Ascend Mastermind group. Awesome, awesome guy. Super, super savvy entrepreneur. Actually, I should hook you guys up because I think there's some synergies between you. Daryl's a really, really good guy, savvy business owner. Awesome. But it's funny that you said that about the Amazon link. I was just watching, somehow it came up on my YouTube feed. Are you familiar with Ty Lopez?
Yeah.
So Ty Lopez created a video. This was a couple of years ago, and he was sharing how, like, passively he makes, at the time it was like 10-11 grand a month, and all he did was, he's an Amazon affiliate, he created a, he buys like thousands of dollars worth of books every single month, and he reads these books. I think he reads like a book a day or something, and then he does a review. So he has a book review page, and it's it's all these books, and it's just an Amazon link, and it's like it's super. So there's so many ways, guys, that we can generate some income. So that's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me bring up Matt's question here. How do I get more info on the whole life insurance strategy you mentioned?
Yeah, so you could actually go to YouTube, just type in, you know, search Chris Miles Infinite Banking. And you'll probably find, there's a couple different ones I did. One I did that's 35 minutes long. Another one I did with another investor that's like an hour or so. You can actually kind of see a bigger presentation on how that all works there. And then reach out to me with questions.
Perfect. By the way, let's go ahead and do that now. Matt, just so that you know, with all our episodes, we're going to include the links and resources in the show notes page on flipempire.com. It'll also be like in the description part of Apple Podcasts and all that. Chris, there's a few more questions that have come in here. Where's the best place for people to connect with you?
You can do one of two things. I mean, one, you can just go to moneyripples.com. That's moneyripples.com. You can go there. That's my website. You can also check out my podcast called The Chris Miles Money Show that I do as well. I've got like almost 400 episodes, so there's plenty of content there.
Dude, you're right behind me, man. So I don't know if you're aware of this. This is episode, I want to say it's 414 or 416, man. So when did you launch the podcast?
It launched 6 years ago last week.
Okay. Amazing, man. Congratulations. Yeah, I know the work and effort it takes to produce and put on a show, man. So hats off to you for, I've been at this almost 4 years. So, congratulations, brother. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I saw another
question up above.
Patty, we're going to get to your question. Actually, let me circle back to you, Patty, cause that's a quick and easy one to answer. But, let me see here. No, we answered that one, Matt.
There's a Facebook user, that one.
Yep.
Deflationary depression. I don't know if it'll be, I don't think it'll be deflationary. I think it'll be inflationary. The last depression was deflationary, but we weren't able to print more money, right? We had to confiscate people's gold so we could print more money, right? We're not doing that. We're not confiscating anybody's gold anymore. So if there's anything, I think inflationary could be the issue we're dealing with.
Yeah. Great question, by the way. Anonymous user. Yeah. So if you guys go to, let me see here. If you guys, we're wrapping up here, but StreamYard. So if you go to StreamYard.com/Facebook, all you got to do is click a name, and Facebook requires StreamYard to basically show your picture and your name. So it's a lot. I'd rather see your face and know your name. So if you guys go ahead and do that, you know, you don't come up as an anonymous Facebook user. So, Matt, by the way, said, sweet. Thanks, guys. No problem at all, Matt. Definitely recommend you connect with Chris and check out that video on infinite banking he's got on his YouTube page. Patty, great question. So best way to do this is if you just Google, I could probably do it right now, but if you Google Dan's Genius Zone exercise, it'll come up in one of the top searches. There's also a book I recommend called Unique Ability 2.0. It's another version of the G, but that's a great book, Unique Ability 2.0. And both of those links will include it in the show notes page when this podcast episode gets published. So if you just Google it, that's going to be the easiest way to find it. And you can even find the email template as well. Let me see here. So when I go to my... when I go on my phone, I'll be able to see who sent this. Proud of you. I'm not sure if they're proud of me, of you, but I'll take it for both of us. So thank you, whoever that was. And I appreciate you. Really
Ramon,
appreciate
your
you.
Boy, huh?
Was it Ramon?
Yeah, that's what it says up above. Yeah.
My man, Ramon. So, dude, first deal I ever did 2005 was a property that I contracted, and I was scared to move forward. I looped Ramon into that deal. He had already been doing real estate, and we ended up closing that deal together. I think we made like 44 grand. So Ramon's a good guy. We've known each other for a long, long time. Good friend.
Awesome.
He says, a father always loves his son. What a character. What a character. So, all right, guys, let me see here. I think Patty has a follow-up question. What do you think is the best way to capitalize in this market?
You know, it really comes back to what you offer, right? And so that genius zone is a perfect thing to look at and just figure out, like, what is it I can do to uniquely solve problems for people right now, right? Like, what are people complaining about? What are they whining about? What are they asking for? And find a way to serve that. And look, I'm trying to look ahead too. Like, try to look to see what problems are coming ahead. I think that's the best way to capitalize. And you can do that from so many different angles. There's no one way to do it. I mean, you know, you can capitalize on the real estate side, but even that won't be the same. I mean, there's still multiple ways to do it in real estate. There's multiple ways to do it within each of your businesses. The best thing is always be asking, what is it people want right now? And how can I give it to them?
That's right. And Patty, I think to piggyback, so first of all, I think you're 1,000% right. Try not to get swayed by what you see on social media, what you see other people doing, because you have, first of all, many times that's smoke and mirrors, and you just don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. Second of all, what appears to be an overnight success is years and years, and in some cases, decades of blood, sweat, and tears. So try not to fall victim or prey to like doing something because you see somebody else do it. But that's why I'm such a big fan and advocate of just getting clear on the vision you have for your life and then building a business to support that vision that you want, not that you see somebody else. So hopefully that answers your question, Patty. And she says it does. So no, appreciate you. Thank you for the question. Let me see. Matt follows up. I'm about to start a podcast soon regarding becoming an entrepreneur and the shift from going to him. Matt, absolutely love that idea. And this is a page out of Gary Vee's book. You know, guys, document, become a creator and documenter on social media. Don't be a consumer. You know, and Gary Vee talks about this all the time. So I give him all the credit in the world. And it took me years to kind of get to this point where I was comfortable enough to even do something like this. Right now, I absolutely love it. I love getting connected with guys like you, Chris, and sharing and helping people. But Matt, document your journey, man. People want to follow. People want to see a success story. People want to see like from where you are now to where you're going. So absolutely love that. If you have any questions and if I can help you, and I know, you know, Chris has a successful podcast as well. So if you have any questions as far as that's concerned, let me know. Ray and his wife, Christy, they started a podcast not too long ago and it's going really well for them. So, yeah, guys, figure out what platform within the social media realm works for you. Tap into it, document your journey. I think the key here, and I don't know if you have any thoughts as far as this is concerned, is be authentic. Be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Share your unique voice because God only made one of you. And that's the bottom line. So just be yourself.
Amen to that.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. So guys, Chris, I think we are good. Guys, we are going to wrap this thing up. If you have any other last minute questions, feel free to put them in the chat box here so I can bring them on the screen and answer them. And if not, you know, you can always ask the questions and then, you know, Chris and I will actively be looking at these threads and we'll chime in. Again, guys, we do this podcast twice a week. Monday, we do a masterclass expert interview like this. And then Thursday, it's a solo show. It's just me. And that's a much smaller, shorter, condensed show. So make sure you're subscribed, guys, on the Flip Empire Show. And matter of fact, let me just... a quick call to action here. Subscribe, flipempire.com/podcast. So Chris, man, any final words, man, anything to add here?
Yeah. I mean, the whole topic is about how to prosper right now with this recession or whatever's coming up. I mean, the biggest thing is remember that there's always hope. There's always opportunity. And if you're always focused on how can I help people get what they want? How can I answer questions, solve problems, create solutions for people? You, as long as people get what they want, you will never want. That's kind of my mantra, right? So I think right now is the most exciting time to take advantage of this. There's going to be lots of people that will lose their butts, right? But there's going to be plenty of us that will prosper. The choice is really up to you of how you really focus, how you really turn towards this recession and look towards with hope.
Absolutely love it, man. Brother, I really appreciate the friendship, the connection for you hopping on here and sharing. How do people reach out to you? I know you said moneyripples.com. Mm-hmm. If that's the best place to reach you, anywhere else that you would that you want to direct people?
Yeah, moneyripples.com is great. There's also, you know, Facebook. I've got my Money Ripples page on there. Obviously, we'll be answering questions on this thing as well. So on the thread. Yep. So
yep. Yeah. Awesome. And then your podcast is called The Money
Show with Chris Miles. Money Show.
The Chris Miles Money Show. Okay. So again, guys, we will include that link in the show notes page. Let me just make sure. Actually, I think we got another couple. David, appreciate you, brother. So David's a friend from Miami. Very informative. Thank you, man. Appreciate you, David. Lissandro, love it. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you, Lissandro. Thank you so much. And Matt, we'll do Pat Hilton, man. So do you know Pat Hilton?
I don't know him personally, but I know of him.
Yeah, I know of him as well. We haven't connected, but he's a really good guy. He's working with a lot of entrepreneurs. So I think you're in really, really good hands with Pat, Matt. So anyways, guys, thank you so much. I've been doing this now almost 4 years, and I feel like it's somewhat redundant to always just thank people, but I genuinely appreciate people taking the time to spend 57 minutes on this live with us. And in the future, people that watch it on YouTube or the podcast, I don't take it for granted. So I genuinely appreciate your time, and I trust and hope that we've delivered here. Chris is a wealth of information, great guy, and highly suggest and recommend that you guys connect with him at moneyripples.com. Angelo's giving you some love here. Good job, Chris. So awesome, man. Hey, brother, appreciate you. I'm always here for you. Anything that you might need. And yeah, man, I look forward to growing together. So
ditto. Appreciate it, Alex.
Awesome. All right, guys, I will connect with you on the next show. Appreciate you. We are out.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.